chapel is designed to be a meeting on your part with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords himself. Over these years, there has been the same basic objective that chapel is to be a time of worship, not a lecture, not an entertainment, but a time of meeting the King.
Those were some of the closing words from a man's final minutes on earth. The preacher is V. Raymond Edmond. He's 67 years old. It's a Friday morning chapel at Wheaton College on September 22nd, 1967, 5.5 decades ago. His sermon is titled, In the Presence of the King. Edmond preached for about 11 minutes, paused, collapsed, and died, and entered into the presence of the King of Kings. Stunning event. In chapel that morning, along with 2,000 other Wheaton students, was 21-year-old John Piper. And Pastor John, you rarely ever mention this event, once late in an article that you wrote in 1995, but nowhere in a book or in a sermon, and never here on EBJ either. So take us back to Wheaton in 1967. Who was V. Raymond Edmond? What do you remember about that fateful Friday morning? What impact did that chapel have on your future ministry? And as you listen to the audio recording over 55 years later, what strikes you?
The room we were meeting in when Prexy, as those who knew him well called him, V. Raymond Edmond, the room we were meeting in was called Edmond Chapel, named after Dr. Edmond in 1960 when it was built. So the building in which he died bore his name already.
Oh, wow.
It's a large concert-like venue, beautifully white and blue with huge chandeliers, holds about 2,400 people with a main floor where the students sat during chapel and then a balcony behind. Chapel was required of all students in those days, so the main floor was almost always mostly full. Mm. I was sitting near the back on the main floor on the right-hand side as you face the platform. I think I was about, my row was about 3 or 4 from the back. We sat in alphabetical order, so nobody chose whom they sat with. So what do I make then as I listen to these last minutes of Dr. Edmond's life, which I did in getting ready for this? What an amazing experience to listen. Frankly, I think you can hear, if you listen to the whole thing, I think you can hear Dr. Edmond's voice in his voice and in the content of his message that he was displeased with the casual way students were treating chapel. Mm. His entire narrative of his meeting with Haile Selassie, the Ethiopian king, with its elaborate protocol of bowing and silence as one approached the earthly king, was designed by Dr. Edmond to encourage students to come to chapel and meet the King of Kings in that spirit. That's the whole point of his message. Stop talking as you enter the foyer. He pleaded with them. He pleaded that when they walk into chapel, they wouldn't talk with each other, but cultivate what he called the discipline of be still and know that I am God. He had written a book of devotions called The Disciplines of Life. I had the book. I can't find it right now, but I remember reading it while I was still at Wheaton. His burden in the book and in the chapel message and elsewhere was paradoxical, like the Christian life. He knew, on the one hand, that the deeper life, the exchange life, as he called it, he was very influenced by Hudson Taylor, by the way, in that regard. He knew that the deeper exchange life, Christ for mine, mine for Christ, was a profoundly free and spirit-inspired life. Yet, on the other hand, this life was marked by rigorous disciplines that flowed from the Spirit. And he saw those disciplines being eroded in the 1960s in the church and in the students at Wheaton. And that book and this chapel message were his way of earnestly calling students to discipline themselves to be still and know that God is God. And so he lamented the roar of student conversation in chapel. He even asked, with I think only partial humor, that is it louder than the lions at Brookfield Zoo? He said, I didn't hear any laughter when he said that.
Yeah.
So we were all sitting there when suddenly he stopped, no apparent reason. There were a few seconds of silence. He turned to his left and just collapsed. It was not a gentle collapse, as I recall. He hit the floor like a log, and the sound was frightening. He didn't crumple. You thought it was quiet before? Good night. Now it was breath-holding quiet, as 2,000 students trembled inside. Oh, no. What has just happened? Dr. Armerding, the new president, who was sitting right behind him in the main chair behind the pulpit, immediately knelt down over Dr. Edmund. Then he stood, as medical people were coming to the platform, and said with beautiful, perfect equanimity and the dignity he was known for, "Let us pray." And he prayed briefly for Dr. Edmund and dismissed us in silence. So I went to my classical Greek class with Gerald Hawthorne in Blanchard Hall. And after we prayed, we tried to go on with our lessons, but soon the chapel bell tolled, long series of solemn bells. And we assumed that meant the chancellor has died. And he dismissed class, and that's basically where my memories stopped. As I listened to those last minutes of the chapel message, about 11 minutes before he collapsed, several things struck me. I was actually, yesterday, as I hadn't listened ever. I'd never heard that until you sent it to me.
Yeah.
As I was trembling inside, I had this awareness, this man is going to meet Jesus in 11 minutes. It was as though I was there and I knew something he didn't know. You're going to die in 11 minutes. 10, 9, 8, 7. You're going to meet the King of the universe face to face in 11 minutes. You will not finish this message, Dr. Edmund. You will not finish anything that is not finished now. Your life will be over in 11 minutes. I actually looked over on my computer screen at the numbers ticking off the seconds. And they felt like heartbeats to me. And then he stopped. Now, I'm 10 years older than Dr. Edmund was when he died.
Yeah.
This was a good rehearsal for me. Yeah. That's what this is for. This is a rehearsal. I think the final minutes of Dr. Edmund's life and message have been a bit romanticized. It's more realistic to say that in those last minutes, not only did he speak of entering the presence of the King. That's what's been remembered, and rightly so. But he was also dealing with student misbehavior. Just real, down-to-earth, inglorious, practical, disappointing behavior.
Yeah.
And he talked about speakers who come to chapel and are bad speakers. They tilt like windmills, he said, and say things unhelpful. That's not glorious. That's the way most of us are going to die. This is the way it struck me. That's the way most of us are going to die. We won't be on some mountaintop of sinless spiritual fervor. We won't. We'll be dealing with some mundane, frustrating, ordinary issue like students making a ruckus coming into chapel, speakers that are embarrassing to listen to, trying to say something helpful about this frustrating reality. And here's the beautiful thing. In the midst of dealing with ordinary, mundane, frustrating disappointments, Christ will shine through. And he did. He did. Because the very last words out of Dr. Edmund's mouth were an exhortation not to return evil for evil, or to say it positively, to return to treat disappointing chapel speakers better than they deserve. That is, courteously. Here's what he said, his last words, words of counsel about how to treat unhelpful speakers. He said, "Our part as Christians is to be courteous. Any indication of disinterest or displeasure on our part would be an unnecessary discourtesy to him. And so I would ask you to desist." And he fell over. So the last word, the very last word was, treat them better than they deserve. Just like Stephen, right?
Yeah.
That's the way the Christian life is going to be at the very end. I think it's going to be a mixture of mundane, frustrating, disappointing reality and shafts of light from the word of Christ breaking in. And yes, the glory of the King just over the horizon a moment away. As I listened and counted down, I thought, these could be my last 11 minutes right now, even as we talk, right?
Yeah.
I could drop over here at my desk. I'm standing. I could fall to my left, fall to my right. So Piper, here's the admonition that's landing on me. Piper, speak in a way that you would be okay with if a recording of your last minutes were played over and over again on earth and in heaven. So my prayer on listening to this message again after 55 years is that when I die, I would be found like Dr. Edmund commending the love of Christ. And while I live, I would be found like Dr. Armerding, beautifully discerning what love calls for in every unexpected moment.
Thank you, Pastor John, for taking us back to that moment. And those last 11 minutes were recorded and can be found online in the Wheaton College Archive. Just Google V. Raymond Edmund, final address. V. Raymond Edmund, final address. And speaking of the student years of John Piper, his formative years at Wheaton College, we've talked about that season of his life many times in the past episodes that I collected together in the new APJ book. See the APJ book on page XV15 in the introduction for a digest of those other Wheaton episodes and how his years there really shaped Pastor John and solidified his life calling, a very critical season of his life. And speaking of the end of life, Paul tells us that death is a gift to us. We own it. Death is ours, he says in 1 Corinthians 3:22. So what does that mean? I'm your host, Tony Ranke. We'll ask Pastor John on Thursday. See you then.